Hello and welcome to the recording for Sunday the 28th of February for the children in the way. I hope you're well and I hope you're getting ready for school. Some people might have been going into school as key worker kids, but for some of us, it might be the first time we've been in school since before Christmas. So I hope you're all ready and you've got your masks because for year 7 and above, I believe most schools will be wearing masks all day long. Do remember to be careful and, you know, just do the best you can. We can only put ourselves in God's hands, really. So I have got a really interesting quiz for you right now. Although we will be having a quiz next week of all of the parables, there'll be some hard questions and some easy ones as well. Okay, but today I am thinking of a country, and let's see whether you can work this one out. It's not an easy one, I'll warn you now. Okay, this country is situated between the Pacific Ocean and the Caribbean Sea. That's for 5 points. For 4 points, it was colonized by Spain, so its official language is Spanish. For 3 points, it is the largest country in Central America. For 2 points, its flag has 3 horizontal stripes. The first and the third stripe are both blue to represent the Pacific Ocean and the Caribbean Sea. And on the white one in the middle, it has got a triangle with 5 volcanoes over a lake with a rainbow above it, and the triangle is made of gold. It's gold colored triangle. And for 1 point, its capital is Managua and the president is Daniel Ortega. Does that help at all? Right, I'll give you one last clue. It has more vowels in its name than consonants, which I thought was quite interesting. Did you guess that it was Nicaragua? That is the country I was thinking of, which when I was growing up, I really loved that name because it was so interesting to say the name Nicaragua to me. Okay. Other things I found out when I was doing my research, but I didn't want this to be a really long quiz, was that Nicaragua has dramatic terrain of lakes, volcanoes, and beaches. It has inlets which are rich in tropical bird life. It has got 2 seasons, the rainy season and the dry season. So very, very simple. It has Mosquito Coast, which is not named after the mosquito, but after the indigenous people who lived there before it was colonized. And the first female elected head of states in the Americas was from Nicaragua, and her name was Violeta Chamorro, and she was president from 1990 to 1997. So I found that really, really interesting, and I hope you did too. Okay, so that was just for fun, really. Okay, so today we're looking at parable 46, the last parable that we're going to look at before the quiz next week. And it's the parable of the sheep and the goats, and it's found in Matthew chapter 25 from verse 31. So there is some discussion of whether this is a parable or word picture. But yeah, I mean, it's quite similar, but it doesn't really matter whether you call it a parable or word picture. The meaning of it is really quite clear. Okay, so reading from verse 31 in Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will look to those on his left. "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and a prisoner, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Okay, so quite another serious one, talking about the kingdom of heaven and when God comes, and when Jesus comes on his second coming to judge the living and the dead, to judge the people, to see who has been good and who has been bad. Of course, we want to be sheep. We do not want to be a goat. It reminds me of that song that I recommended a while back, saying, "I just want to be a sheep. Ba, ba, ba." I loved that song. That was a really good one. Okay, so, but is it easy to tell the difference between a sheep and a goat? I know that on YouTube somewhere, there is a little quiz that you can do of some close-up pictures of sheep and goats. And you have to try and identify which one is which, whether each picture is a sheep or a goat. And because they're properly zoomed in, it is quite hard to tell the difference. But we're not talking about just anyone separating sheep from goats. We are talking about the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, who sees deep into people's hearts. And he will know the difference between the sheep and the goat. Of course, the sheep represent people that have been following God, following Jesus, doing the right things in their behavior and in their faith towards him. And the goat, who have been going their own way and haven't been listening to the shepherd's voice. And that is the thing with the shepherd. He can not only tell the difference, but the sheep also know the shepherd's voice. Jesus has said that before in one of his parables. The sheep know the shepherd's voice and they will follow the shepherd. They will follow the true shepherd, not a robber or somebody, a stranger who comes in unawares. And there is another YouTube video that illustrates this, where you've got three people and they're standing in the field and they are all calling out one by one to this sheep, to a flock of sheep. And the sheep ignore the first two because they do not recognize that voice. But when the shepherd, the real shepherd that they are used to, even starts to speak, they immediately start coming and running towards him because they are used to that. So we should be like sheep. We should follow the master's voice and we should go willingly and we should listen out for that voice and not go our own way or be led astray by somebody who is a stranger. So Jesus says that when Jesus is talking to the sheep in this parable, and he says to them that you looked after me and you gave me food and you came to visit me when I was a prisoner. And they say, whoa, we don't know when this happened. And they are confused. And when he's talking to the goats and he says, you did not do all of these things to me. And they are confused as well. And the reason both of them are confused is because Jesus identifies with the needy and the poor and the people around us that are desperately in need. He wants us to treat them as if they were Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine if you treated people around you as if they were Jesus today. If you treated your brother and sister like they were Jesus, and if you treated your mom and dad as if they were Jesus, you would certainly do things a lot differently. Your behavior would definitely change. Because some of the reasons why we do things, they are a little bit selfish. Sometimes we are worried about what people around us will think. Very recently, when we had the snow, a man fell down quite where I could see. I saw him falling. And I immediately got out of my car and rushed to try and help him. Thankfully, he was able to get up safely and he was okay. Because it was only as I was getting close that I realized that I couldn't actually help him up or touch him because I was going to be too close while in a COVID pandemic situation. So sometimes we do things because we are going to be noticed by other people and we are looking around to see, oh, can this person see me being kind? Or can this person see how much money I'm giving to a cause or to, you know, and we do it for all the wrong reasons. Some people do things just to put on Facebook or Instagram. And that's not the right reason to be doing things. And then sometimes we do things because we know we are going to get something out of it. And we know maybe we think we're going to get some money or we're going to get a medal or we're going to get a mention that could be in a newspaper or some other publication or maybe even just on Facebook or social media. We will be noticed and mentioned. And maybe sometimes that's the reason we do things. But we should do things for the right moral reason. We should do it because it's the right thing to do, because that's what Jesus would do and that's what God asks us to do. And that's the reason why we should do things. As I say, if we knew it was Jesus, we would definitely behave a lot differently. So how can we use our gifts and talents in the way that Jesus is illustrating in this passage? And some of these things they're going to change because of your age or because of the things that you have around you or because of parental influence, because we really should do these things with our parents' blessing. Especially the first one, where you are giving to needy people around you. It could be giving food or drink. You can't really go and empty out your cupboards and give all your food to the poor. You have to check with your parents to see what is the best thing to do and how to best do that. Even providing shelter. I'm not talking about being under an umbrella with somebody, but sometimes we can do things to through charities that provide shelter, and that would cover that. Because we can't really give meals to strangers at the moment, but we could find a charity that does that and give money to them for that. Sometimes there are charity drives at schools, and some charities you go away for a week or 2 weeks and they actually facilitate building homes for orphanages, or building schools, or building different things. So you can go away to a charity, with a charity, and do some work to help. You can provide clothes if the clothes that you have are too small or you don't need them anymore. You can give clothes to somebody else in need, maybe a younger sibling, or if a friend has a younger child, then you could offer to give clothes that you don't need anymore to people that need them. You can help the sick. You can help people that are sick, even though we can't go and visit them right now. You could write letters. You could send a letter encouraging somebody who's feeling emotionally tired. Or you could say a prayer. We can all afford to at least send a prayer up to God for somebody that we know is maybe not physically ill, but spiritually ill or emotionally ill, and they're struggling at the moment. You could send them a prayer or send them a message or write them a letter. We can't really visit people in prison, but you can certainly write a letter to them. There's some ways to facilitate that. I know our church does have a prison ministry, so if it was something that you were feeling God was laying on your heart, with your parents' approval and with guidance, then you could write a letter to a prisoner. But sometimes we give excuses. We give excuses as to why we feel we can't do something to help a person that we see who is in need. Sometimes we find it too easy to ignore the situation and to do nothing. You might think, after all, these poor people aren't worthy of my time and money. They just have, they just want their hands out to everyone, and they just want to work and get a free ride. Or you might think, I need this more than these poor people. Why can't he help himself? Why can't he get up and go and do something for himself? Or we might think, I need this, and before I can give to other people, I need to make sure I've got enough. And that's the right way to do it. But we can always find something that we have that someone else might need, and we can all, sometimes we find we have extra. Or you might think, I need to take care of myself and my family first before I think of someone else. Get real. I have better things to do with my time and money. I give money to the church and to charity, and these people, they can help themselves. And if I give something directly to a poor person, I don't get a tax relief, I don't get any benefits, and nobody knows what I've done. So I don't want to do that. You know, some of these are good excuses, but some of them, we might just say them to make ourselves feel better. But what do you think Jesus would say if you gave him these excuses? And that's something for you to think about. To think about some of the reasons why you give, why you don't help someone out who's in need by giving them your time or your money or anything else. What would Jesus say if those were your excuses? Do you think he would be impressed with them? Probably not. Because here we find in this scenario, all of humanity is before Jesus. It's not only the Christians, it's not only the Jews, it's not only the Gentiles, but everybody is there, and he's separating out, and he can see what's in people's heart. So, and Jesus says, when you did not do it to the least of my brothers, then you did not do it to me. So who are these people who are the least of my brothers that Jesus is talking about? There are some thoughts about who they are, and some people think, but it's not outsiders. It's not people that are outside the church or people that are inside the church. It really has to be the whole world. It really has to be us looking around at the people around us that are in need. They might be in need of some company, so you might be able to stand at a safe distance and keep them company for a bit, telling them about your day and the things you've done. Or they might be in need of physical things, actual material things that you have. Or they might be in need so much of people, so many people are have a spiritual or emotional need. And that is something that you are in a position to provide, because as a Christian, you believe that Jesus gives peace and Jesus helps us through difficult times. So the people that are going through difficult times, that's the message they need to hear. And the people that are going through emotional trauma, they need to know that things will get sorted out and that things will be better. So Jesus really wants us to look around, because he tells us that we should be loving our enemies. We should do good to those who hate us or spitefully use us. So Jesus is talking about all of the people around us that might be in need. And he identifies himself with those people. And he says, when you do it to those people, it is just as good as if you were doing it to me. In James chapter 2, verse 14, it talks a lot about our deeds and the things that we do. And the argument is, if I have faith in God, then that is enough to get me into heaven. But here James makes it very, very clear that faith is all fair and good, but having a lot of faith doesn't do you any good if you are still acting in a selfish way, or you're still acting in a way where you're just thinking about yourself. We need faith, and we also need good deeds, because our faith is not enough to save us. You can't have faith but act in a selfish way. Good works are not the reason we are saved, but the good works are the evidence that people can see that we are saved. So the question that I would leave you with is, is there enough evidence in your life to show that you're a Christian? If you were put on trial, and we have asked this question before, if you were put on trial, all the things that you did on Saturday, would they be evidence to show that you are a Christian, or would they be evidence to show that you are not a Christian? So just think about it. As you are treating other people in a certain way, make sure that you're treating them in a good way. And this parable, as I said earlier, is about the kingdom of heaven and what is going to happen. We want to be sheep. We want to be people that follow Jesus, that listen to his voice and do what he asks us to do. So make sure you're in that boat and, well, in that group of sheep, so that we can enjoy heavenly glory, because Jesus doesn't mince his word. He says that people that do not do it, they will be sent to hell, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we don't want that. We want to end up in the kingdom of righteousness and eternal glory. So let's make sure that we are careful with how we treat other people and the things that we are doing, and taking up every opportunity to help people that are around us. So God bless you, and I hope he opens his eyes up to see the people that are there. Don't forget the quiz next week. Bye.